Dreamscape presents Culture Smart Morocco by Gillian York, narrated by Charles Armstrong. Introduction. Morocco is a land of vivid contrasts. The gateway to two continents, it's a country of spectacular landscapes, rich in history and heady with sumptuous scents and breathtaking sights. While the countryside is home to ancient traditions and diverse peoples, the ever-growing urban centres boast incredible new architecture alongside the old and activities to suit all modern tastes. In the crowded ancient medinas, young men in designer jeans haggle over cell phones, alongside traditionally dressed women shopping for housewares. In the fertile countryside, a farmer riding on a goat is as common a sight as a television satellite perched on a mud-brick roof. Moroccan culture is difficult to pigeonhole. It's a unique blend of Arab, African, and European ways of life, and the Moroccans wouldn't have it any other way. After 1956, when Morocco gained independence after 44 years of French colonial rule, the country was jolted into the 20th century. Religious faith and traditional ways of life were forced to contend with Western ideals and norms introduced by the former colonists, and the Moroccan people had to adjust. Fortunately, Moroccans are incredibly adaptable and have managed to hold on to their values while moving forward. The Moroccans are warm, hospitable, and open-minded. But for the uninitiated, there can be plenty of snares and snags along the road to acceptance. Culture Smart Morocco aims to start you on the path to understanding this sometimes frustrating, yet rich and fascinating culture. The brief historical overview provides an insight into the way the past has helped shape modern Moroccan values and attitudes. There are chapters on customs and traditions, and on the complexities of modern Moroccan life, with advice on what to expect and how to behave appropriately in different situations. For the business traveller, there is practical guidance on how to get things done and how to make the most of the opportunities that present themselves. Though Morocco has its share of problems, for example, the dispute over the Western Sahara and a high unemployment rate, Moroccans are as loyal to their king as they are to God, a fact that is epitomised in the country's motto, God, the country, the king. They are also fiercely loyal to family, but they will welcome you into the inner circle if, by showing flexibility and respect, you allow them. Chapter 1. Land and People. Geographical snapshot. Morocco is one of three countries, along with Algeria and Tunisia, that make up North Africa, or the Maghreb, meaning the West in Arabic. Approximately the size of Sweden, it's still primarily a rural country. With a population of some 33 million, Morocco has only two cities with a population of over 1 million, and only three more that approach this figure. Geographically, Morocco is both the gateway to Africa for Western travellers and the gateway to Europe for many Moroccans. Across the Strait of Gibraltar, it's only some 8 miles from Spain. In the east, it borders Algeria. In the south, the disputed Western Sahara, and beyond, Mauritania. And to the west, the Atlantic Ocean. While Morocco has no overseas territories, it contains within its borders two Spanish exclaves, Ceuta, or Ceuta in Arabic, and Melilla. Morocco boasts over 2,200 miles of coastline, bordering the Mediterranean and the Atlantic Oceans. It is also home to four mountain ranges, the rugged Rif Mountains in the north, the Middle and High Atlas, which create a natural division between the coastal regions and the Sahara, and the Saharan Anti-Atlas Range. Morocco boasts North Africa's highest peak, Jebel Toubkal, 13,650 feet. The varied landscape includes sandy desert, stony steppes, over 500,000 acres of cedar forest, and most notably, argan forests. The squat and heavily fruited argan tree is indigenous to Morocco and grows mostly in the south. Argan oil, which is used for cooking and is extremely time-consuming to produce, is exported to several countries at a handsome profit. Climate. Due to its long coastline and its mountain ranges, Morocco has the most varied climate in all of North Africa. Summers are hot and dry, while late fall and spring are rainy. Snow falls consistently in the Middle Atlas regions, surrounding Azrou and Ifrane during winter, and across all of the high mountain peaks. While Marrakesh may be comfortably warm in midwinter, one can see the snow-capped peaks of the High Atlas from the city. Particularly notable are the winds. Chagui, a dry southeasterly wind, and Garbi, from Garb meaning west, a cold, wet westerly wind. They are responsible for both rain and drought in Morocco. Cities. Casablanca. Morocco's largest city is Casablanca, with a population of approximately 3.8 million. This cosmopolitan city is now the country's industrial capital, though for its size and scope, it has a surprisingly brief history. Most of the buildings date from the years of the French protectorate. There is a small medina, walled Islamic city, as found in most Moroccan cities, which provides evidence of its former existence as a provincial town. The most striking landmark in Casa, as it's commonly known, is the Hassan II Mosque, built in 1999 and paid for almost entirely by public donations at a price tag of more than $500 million. Its minaret is 689 feet high, and its workings are strikingly high-tech, including centrally heated floors and a retractable roof. Rabat. Most foreign residents live in Casablanca and Rabat. Metro area population approximately 1.4 million. Casablanca's equally modern sister and the current capital of Morocco. Rabat's modern downtown is somewhat reminiscent of Paris, if the French capital were to have palm trees and year-round sun. The city has a fine medina dating back to the 17th century. Rabat is perhaps more refined than Casablanca and is home to some excellent restaurants, as well as several American and European fast food chains, and to plenty of nightlife, mostly of the upscale variety. The city is also home to the majority of foreign embassies, though some consulates are located in Casablanca. Marrakesh. One of Morocco's former imperial capitals, Marrakesh, population 970,000, is no less glorious today. Its ochre buildings, the city authorities have stipulated that all new buildings must also be this colour, even McDonald's fits the mould, and medieval sites make it a unique tourist destination. But the city is also quite modern and chic in its own right. Every fall it is home to a film festival that attracts both Moroccan and Hollywood filmmakers and stars. Fez. Fez is the oldest of the former imperial capitals and has long been considered the centre of both Islam and cultural sophistication in Morocco. Its ancient medina is unique in that it is one of the largest living medieval cities in the world. Here one can stroll through the streets and encounter ancient customs and entirely modern workings side by side. It's not uncommon to see an old man followed by a donkey, with the donkey straining under a case of Coca-Cola. The Fez Medina project, www.fezmedina.com, is working to restore the area, which is struggling under the burden of its million or more citizens. UNESCO has declared Fez a World Heritage Site and is also working to preserve the ancient city. Meknes. Only an hour west of Fez, Meknes is another former imperial capital. However, the cities are as different as night and day. While Fez teems with life and spirituality, Meknes is slower and calmer, and its inhabitants are friendly and welcoming. There are few foreign residents here, though the total population of the greater Meknes area is thought to be around 1 million. Meknes is split between its medina and imperial city and the new French-built Ville Nouvelle, new town, which contains modern creature comforts such as several modern supermarkets. Meknes is situated near two of Morocco's most important historic sites, the Roman ruins of Volubilis and the holy town of Moulay Idriss. It is surrounded by vast areas of agricultural land, rich in olives and olive oil, grains and grapes for wine. Aisha, a large company that produces oils, jellies and other cooking supplies, is based outside Meknes, as is Les Celliers de Meknes winery. Agadir. The southern city of Agadir, population 400,000, is best known for its beaches. Popular with foreign and Moroccan tourists alike, this destination city was entirely rebuilt following a devastating 1960 earthquake. Already popular for package tours, Agadir has become an even more sought-after destination following the introduction of inexpensive flights from Europe on low-cost airlines such as Ryanair. Ifrane. Ifrane, by no means a large city, is one of interest to foreigners because of its prestigious English language university, Al Aqwan, www.aui.ma. The university, founded in 1995 by King Hassan II and King Fahd of Saudi Arabia, caters mainly to the children of wealthy Moroccans. Classes are in English and are based on the American system. Various areas of study are offered at undergraduate and graduate levels, and the university hosts many foreign employees and exchange students. In the summer, there is an intensive Arabic program, which is of interest to anyone planning to remain for some time. A brief history. Although Morocco has only been an independent state since 1956, its history is as rich and complex as its people. Over time, and due to its prime location, the influences of various cultures have shaped Morocco, ultimately contributing to its fabulous diversity. The following is only a snapshot of the country's fascinating past, but it provides a glimpse into the ancient culture that gave birth to present-day Morocco. The original Moroccans. Indigenous to Morocco are the people now known as the Berbers, also referred to as Imazine, singular Imazi. Little is known of their origins, though they probably came from southwest or central Asia as early as 10,000 BCE. They are thought to have migrated over time to North Africa, where they inhabited the Mediterranean coastline from Egypt to the Atlantic. Berbers today vary greatly in physical appearance as a result of thousands of years of mixing with other ethnic groups. Berber is the ancient Arabic name for the inhabitants of North Africa, perhaps from the word Barbara, meaning those who babble confusedly, which may itself be derived from the Greek Barbaria. The Berbers were, and to a degree remain, a tribal people. They've clung to their identity as well as to a traditional pastoral mountain existence or a nomadic desert one. Centred around clan and tribe, ancient Berber society was relatively isolated until the rise of the great Mediterranean empires. Phoenicians, Greeks, and Romans. In the first millennium BCE, Phoenician traders spread across the North African coast, establishing their capital at Carthage, in present-day Tunis. They founded the settlements of Tingis, Tangier, Mogador, Essaouira, Tamouda, Tetouan, and Lixus, Larache. They were followed shortly afterwards by the Greeks, who settled in various locations across North Africa. It wasn't until the Punic Wars fought against Rome in the 3rd century BCE that the Carthaginians were finally defeated. Though Carthage was successfully defended in the First Punic War, 264 to 241 BCE, the Second Punic War, 218 to 201 BC, found the Romans controlling local leaders and constructing new settlements. In the Third Punic War, 149 to 146 BCE, Carthage was destroyed and its possessions became the Roman province of Africa. The city of Volubilis, just outside modern Meknes, became an important outpost of the Roman Empire. It is the best-preserved Roman ruin in Morocco and was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1997. Throughout these conquests, many Berbers, who were concentrated in mountain areas where others dared not venture, continued to live in the manner to which they had been accustomed for centuries. Those traders who came into contact with them formed mutually beneficial alliances. With the fall of Rome at the end of the 5th century CE, the Byzantines and the Vandals both attempted to fill the power vacuum, but to no avail. Berber tribes succeeded in recovering their land, at least for some time. Arab conquest and Islamization. With the death of the Prophet Muhammad in 632 CE, Islam began its westward spread, and by the end of the century, conquering Arab armies had arrived in Morocco. Many Berbers welcomed the security provided by these latest invaders and converted to Islam, moulding it to their own cultural traditions. Rather than move on as their predecessors had done, the Arabs stayed in Morocco, expanding trade ties and opening overland caravan routes across the Sahara. They followed Berbers into the ranks of the military and into politics, provided they were willing to embrace Islam. For the Berbers, therefore, the incentive to convert was not only spiritual. In theory, the Maghreb was under the rule of the Caliphate in Baghdad. However, Berbers and Arabs alike chose to adapt Islam to local conditions and established an independence that was to continue for centuries. Morocco never again came under the rule of the East, not even that of the Ottoman Empire. Moroccan dynasties. The great Arab historian and philosopher Ibn Khaldun, 1332 to 1402, based his model of dynastic cycles on this next period of Moroccan history. He saw a constant conflict between the cities and the countryside and demonstrated that the Berber kingdoms had a tendency to rise and fall over a similar pattern. The rural Berbers were drawn periodically to the easier life of settled areas and thus to the conquest of towns. The vigorous first generation of rulers continued to live an austere and simple lifestyle. The second adapted to urban culture, and the third generation, removed from its roots, succumbed to internal conflict. The fourth and final generation saw their subjects as sources of wealth that could be drained to expand the empire, but ultimately this process was too rapid to be sustained. Their collapse left a power vacuum that another rural-based dynasty would then fill. The Idrisids, 789-985. The founder of the first Moroccan dynasty was Idris I, a Shiite political exile from Mecca who established himself outside the ancient Roman city of Volubilis in the 8th century. The northern Oraba tribe of Berbers found an ally in Muley Idris and recruited him as their imam, religious leader. Soon, the Idrisid dynasty was dominant throughout northern Morocco. After the assassination of Idris I by his enemies, his son succeeded him as imam at the age of 11. Idris II built an impressive capital, Fez, thus creating the first Moroccan state. The Idrisids were overthrown by Berbers in the 10th century, and Morocco broke up once more into small tribal states. The Almoravids, 1073-1146. This state of anarchy came to an end when the Almoravids rose to power in the 11th century. A melange of three Berber tribes from the Sahara, they founded Marrakesh as their capital before moving north to create an empire that embraced Morocco, parts of Algeria, and Spain. The Almoravid dynasty adhered to a fiercely fundamentalist form of Islam. Almoravid literally means veiled ones and comes from the practice of wearing a veil across the face. The Almohads, 1147-1269. True to Ibn Khaldun's model, the Almoravids soon fell and were succeeded by a rival Berber dynasty, the sectarian Shiite Almohads. The new dynasty kept Marrakesh as the capital. They built the famed Qutubia Mosque and extended the empire eastward, but their piety soon waned. Corruption once again took hold, the dynasty weakened, and later they lost most of Spain. The Merinids, 1269-1465. The successors to the Almohads were the Merinids, a group of nomadic Zenata Berbers who seized Marrakesh in 1269. The Merinids never managed to achieve the opulence of their predecessors, but did manage to last for two centuries, ruling all of Morocco. The Sadians, 1554-1629. In the 16th century, the Moroccan Empire split into two separate kingdoms, based in Fez and Marrakesh. In 1492, the last Muslims were expelled from the Iberian Peninsula, and in the 15th century, Spain and Portugal captured and occupied Morocco's ports. Resistance to the Christian threat was led by religious leaders, one of whom established the Sadian dynasty in 1554. The Sadians were Sharifians, tribal descendants of the Prophet. Ahmad al-Mansur, the victorious, restored the unity of Morocco and defeated Sebastian I, the King of Portugal, decisively at the Battle of the Three Kings, where he was proclaimed Sultan in 1578. He repelled an Ottoman invasion, conquered the Sudan, and named Marrakesh his capital, adorning it with marble. The Alawites, from 1666. The death of Sultan al-Mansur in 1603 led to a long struggle for the succession. The Alawites were the next to step up to the throne. They too were Sharifians, and Muley Rashid was their first leader. On his death, his half-brother Muley Ismail began his long reign, 1672-1727, which signalled a new era for Morocco. Ismail was a cruel but effective leader. From 1672 he revived Moroccan power, and from his capital of Meknes he managed to break the pattern of dynastic cycles, capturing European-held strongholds and creating a secure kingdom. Meknes has been referred to as the Versailles of Morocco. The Alawite dynasty still rules today. The Moors. While Europe was entering the Dark Ages, Arab civilization was flourishing. In the 8th century, the combined Berber-Arab armies of Tariq ben Ziyad crossed the Straits of Gibraltar into Spain. In Andalusia, Al-Andalus, and elsewhere, they created a sophisticated multi-ethnic society. Arab scholars brought with them Arabic translations of the Greek classics and their own scientific knowledge, and ushered in a period of cultural and intellectual cross-fertilization. They established a caliphate at Cordoba in 929 that was independent of Baghdad. In the 11th century, the Almoravids were called in from Morocco to help defend the city from Christian attack and stayed to reform Islam in the region. The Almohads followed in the 12th century, remaining until they were ousted by the Castilian conquistadores at the Battle of Toledo in 1212. The Catholic Reconquista of Spain continued for several centuries until the fall of the last independent Muslim kingdom, Granada, in 1492. Both Muslims and Sephardic Spanish Jews sought asylum and were welcomed in Morocco, where their skills and talents were appreciated. Many resettled in Saleh and Rabat. European advances. Most of Morocco's ports had been captured by Spain and Portugal by the 15th century. In the 19th century, Morocco's sovereignty was further eroded as its strategic importance and economic potential attracted the interest of Europe's imperial powers. In 1854, Sultan Abdarrahman, who supported the Algerians in their war with France, was defeated at the Battle of Isly. In 1856, under British pressure, he opened Morocco to European commerce. In 1860, Spain invaded, and Morocco was forced to cede it to the southwestern region of Ifni. In 1880, the major European powers and the United States agreed at the Madrid Conference to preserve the territorial integrity of Morocco and to maintain equal trade opportunities for all. Imperial ambition soon ended this arrangement. Spain, and ultimately Germany, cast longing eyes at Morocco. France, which had colonized neighboring Algeria, was intent on securing Morocco for itself. Franco-German rivalry caused a major international crisis that led to the 1906 Algéricas Conference, at which the principles of the Madrid Conference were reaffirmed. In 1911, German objections to French influence in Morocco were overcome by territorial compensations in Central Africa. Finally, on March 30, 1912, Sultan Abd al-Hafid was compelled to sign the Treaty of Fez, by which nine-tenths of Morocco became a French protectorate under the rule of General Loyalty. Rabat was declared the capital and the Sultan the figurehead of the Moroccan state, with true control coming from Paris. The rest of the country was administered by Spain. The Spanish protectorate included Spanish Morocco on the northern coast with Tetouan as its capital and a southern protectorate of Morocco, administered as part of the Spanish Sahara. The port of Tangier was separated and made a neutral international zone. The Protectorate. France began to develop its new acquisition and more than 100,000 French settlers moved into the territory. Resident General Loyauté modernized the infrastructure. Electricity was provided, roads and railways were created, and Casablanca became a major commercial port. Interestingly, the colonists didn't attempt to impose Christianity. Although they set up churches for their own use, the French built their own parts of towns called Ville Nouvelle, keeping out of the Medinas and leaving the mosques undisturbed. European rule was threatened by a Berber revolt led by Abdel Krim Khattabi, who instigated the Reef War 1921-26. After defeating a large Spanish force at Anoual, he proclaimed the Republic of the Reef in 1921 and held out until France intervened. The rebels were eventually crushed by a combined French-Spanish army led by Marshal Pétain and Francisco Franco in 1926. In 1934, the Moroccan nationalist movement began political activity. Independence. French colonial rule lasted for a mere 44 years. During the Second World War, after the fall of France, Morocco officially remained loyal to the Vichy French government. Resistance ended when the Allied forces landed in 1942. The following year, the Allied leaders met at Casablanca. While Charles de Gaulle, head of the Free French Forces at the time, lobbied for the continuation of French rule, the Moroccan Istiklal, Independence Party, issued a manifesto demanding independence. The Istiklal Party was comprised of educated urban professionals and students, the products of French modernization and educational reform. The year 1945 brought famine to Morocco due to the war. While 95% of the population lived in the countryside, this year of hunger forced them into the cities to find food and work. In 1948, consultative assemblies were introduced. The French outlawed the Istiklal in 1952, however, and in Fez, protesters took to the streets. A bomb that exploded in Casablanca's central market, killing 17 people and wounding dozens of others, fanned the flames. The French arrested thousands, and in response to Sultan Mohammed V's growing support and encouragement of the party, they deposed and exiled him to Madagascar in 1953. The French misjudged the consequences of their action. The exile of Sultan Mohammed V was extremely unpopular with the Moroccan populace, and between 1953 and 1955, there were an increasing number of anti-French riots. Random acts of violence against colonists were commonplace. In 1955, a Berber tribe slaughtered the entire French population of the village of Oued Zem, bringing the conflict to its zenith. The summary decision was made to grant Morocco independence. French and Spanish forces withdrew in 1956, and Tangier was given to Morocco by international agreement. Spain ceded the southern protectorate in 1958. Mohammed V returned from exile as sovereign in 1956, taking the title of king the following year. King Hassan II. Hassan II ascended the throne in 1961 after the sudden death of his father and ruled for nearly four decades. At the outset, he updated his own role, turning Morocco into a constitutional monarchy and creating a parliament. Though opening the door to democracy, he still kept absolute power and several times disbanded parliament and ruled by decree. Hassan II faced significant opposition during his reign, particularly from Islamists and nationalists. He survived two assassination attempts, one by General Oufkir, one of his trusted generals. Oufkir's assassination attempt is documented in a book by his daughter Malika, who spent 20 years with the rest of her family in a desert prison for her father's crime. Despite conflicts at home, Hassan II's involvement in foreign affairs was impressive. In 1969, he secured the return of the Spanish overseas province of Ifni to Morocco. He was a firm advocate of a peaceful solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict. He also showed support for the UN against Saddam Hussein during the First Gulf War. More problematic but nevertheless impressive, in 1975 the king led the famous Green March of more than 350,000 unarmed Moroccan civilians into the Spanish Sahara to reclaim the disputed territory. This move was partly successful. Spain withdrew in 1976, ceding it to Morocco and Mauritania, which quickly bailed out. Morocco moved in to occupy the region, known internationally as the Western Sahara. Contemporary Morocco. Following the death of Hassan II in 1999, his son, the 35-year-old Mohammed VI, ascended the throne. During his first speech as king, he promised to grant a pardon to 50,000 prisoners. He also fired the infamous head of the security forces, known as the Butcher Basri. King Mohammed VI has proved to be a progressive monarch. Starting with his 2002 marriage to computer engineer Salma Banani, he has demonstrated support for women's rights. In 2004, his government made landmark changes to the Mudawana, or family law, guaranteeing rights for women in the areas of marriage, divorce and child custody. Incidentally, these laws have sparked another wave of fundamentalism, as there is debate over whether or not aspects of the laws contradict the Sharia Islamic law. Morocco is an internationally renowned tourist destination, and many foreigners, in search of the exotic, tend to ignore the modern reality of the country. Modern Moroccan culture, however, exists alongside the ancient traditions and is developing rapidly. With more than 60% of the population under the age of 30, coupled with a 2.13% birth rate, Morocco is a young and growing country. Medical technology is allowing for longer lives and has lowered the infant mortality rate significantly in the past decades. The education system is improving and foreign language education is becoming widespread.